If you're joining us online, we're glad you're here today. I want to give you a brief introduction to where we've been. We started 2 weeks ago with a series of lessons on the fruit of the Spirit. Now, I just want to remind you of what we've talked about so that you'll understand where we are today. First off, when we're talking about the fruit of the Spirit, which is things that the Holy Spirit produces in the lives of Christ followers, the first thing you need to understand, it is fruit, singular, and not fruits, plural. So when we talk the fruit of the Spirit, even though we're talking love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, it is not eight or nine different things here. It is one thing that these characteristics consist of. In that, you also need to understand, you have all or none. Does that make sense? It's not a buffet. You don't get to choose which of the fruit of the Spirit you like. You can't come along and go, well, I love love and joy and peace, but don't ask me to be patient with people and don't ask me about patience. You're only spiritually mature as your weakest fruit. And so for me in this series, and I hope for you, our job is to look at what is our weakest of these fruit of the Spirit and say, I've got to strengthen that. I've got to work on that. Also understand that the fruit of the Spirit is emotionless, meaning you don't do these things, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, because you feel like you like this person or they're doing something. It is a choice that you do. It's something you choose. You choose joy. You choose kindness. You choose love. You're going to choose peace today. Love, as we talked in week one, is to be loving without expecting anything in return. And then last week, Princeton talked about joy is not based on our circumstances. It's an outlook. We are joyful whether or not things are lined up going our way or not. It's something we choose. But today we look at peace. And I want to remind you what these are, if we'll read together. But the fruit of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. And here we go. It is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And there is no law against these things. And today we're looking at peace and how we, as Christ followers, can allow the Spirit to work in us and us work with the Spirit to be people of peace. I'm reminded of the story of the uncle who brought his nephew for Christmas a harmonica. And about 2 weeks after Christmas, after the first of the year, the boy and the uncle bumped into each other, and the uncle asked him, how you liking your harmonica? And the little boy says, it's the best Christmas present I've ever got. And his uncle asked him, said, really? So you know how to play it already? And he goes, oh no, I don't play it. He said, my mom gives me $1 a day not to play it. Sometimes we'll do whatever it takes to have peace in our life, right? Even if that means, hey, I got to fork out some money for some peace around this place. One of the things that you got to catch when it comes to the Bible talking about peace is there are over 400 times and references that the word peace is used in the Bible. That is a big deal because that means it's a big deal to God. And if peace is a big deal to God, it should be a big deal to you. Are you following what I'm saying? Anything that is a big deal to God should be a big deal to you. And the thing that we're going to catch this morning is the fact that God wants us to be people who are peaceful. That God wants us to have peace in our lives. But it doesn't stop there. He also wants to be people who produce peace in the lives of others. And so peace is a big deal to God, and it's a big deal to us. And so right off the bat, I want you to understand, if we're going to get peace as one of the fruit of the Spirit, that you and I can be very thankful that we're a child of God. Because if we are, we are connected to the Prince of Peace. And so right off on number one on your outline this morning, if you're connected as one of God's children, if you're connected to the vine, you're connected to someone who has been referred to in the Bible as the Prince of Peace. Jesus is our Prince of Peace. Good times, bad times, happy times, sad times, bright times, dark times. Jesus is that Prince of Peace. Now, in case you don't understand the phrase Prince of Peace, let me put it to you in a couple of other ways that may make a little more sense to you. He is the general of peace. He is the captain of peace. He is the Lord of peace. He is the King of Kings when it comes to peace. And if you're connected to him, there should also be peace in your life as well. In Mark chapter 4, verse 32, maybe one of the most popular texts that deals with Jesus being the Prince of Peace. We just sang about it. Jesus is on a boat and he's with his apostles and a storm comes up. And the thing that's interesting to the apostles is they have seen Jesus calm other people's storms. They have seen him heal the lame. They have seen him cast out demons. But they have yet to experience a storm where they're a part of it. And in the storm, it gets bad. And they're thinking they're going to sink. And they're thinking, what are we going to do? And they look around at where Jesus is. And if you remember, he's asleep on the boat. And they wake him up indignantly, meaning they're a little put out that he could sleep while they're all about to die. And they say, do you not care if we're going to die? And Jesus says to them, you remember, right? Oh, you of little faith. And then he stands and he calms the storm. He says, peace be still. And I want you to know that when he said peace be still, it didn't begin to slow down the blowing. It wasn't something that progressed over the next hour. It was immediate that the wind stopped and the waves stopped. And the apostles found them more afraid at that than they were a while ago when they thought they were going to drown. You see, what they realized was Jesus not only has the power to cast out demons and to raise the dead and to do all the, but he has power over that. He pretty much is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Prince of Peace. It is amazing to me that sometimes that we forget in the midst of our storms that we have a connection with the Prince of Peace. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. Isaiah, long before Jesus has ever been even born into this world, gives you an idea, a prophecy about what Jesus is going to be like when he says he will be wonderful, counselor, mighty God, eternal Father, and Prince of Peace. I love the fact that I am connected to Jesus in that way. I also want to remind you for just a moment that you can't be under the lordship of Jesus in order for him to have that Prince of Peace over you. I think this is important to understand because we have a lot of people in this world that want to know, why do I have a life that doesn't have peace? You have to have Jesus as your Lord and you have to be under his lordship. So let me give you a couple of examples for just a second. I can't be rude and unkind and mean-spirited to my spouse and expect to have peace because Jesus has asked me not to be those things to my spouse. I can't be rude with my children and an unfit parent and expect to have peace in my world because Jesus has specifically told me how I'm supposed to love and how I'm supposed to act. You can't run up all the debt on your credit card and live outside your means doing things you're not supposed to do and expect to have peace in your world when you're living outside what God has asked you to do. You can just keep going down the list. Jesus has clearly said, don't worry. Life will take care of itself. Don't be anxious about anything. And then sometimes we still choose to be those things. And Jesus is going, you're not going to have peace until you allow yourself to do what I've asked you to do. It's important for us to understand that he is the Prince of Peace, the giver of peace, the lordship of peace, but we have to be under his lordship. The second thing I want you to catch this morning is that you and I are called to be agents of peace. If we are receiving peace from the Holy Spirit, if he's working on peace in our lives, if we're connected to the Prince of Peace, he expects us also to be people who are agents of peace, meaning he wants us to be people who pass along the peace that we've received and to step into other people's world and be peace in their world. Now, you may be going, hey, but I can't calm storms. You may not be able to stop the wind and the waves, but I can promise you, you can walk into someone's emotional storm or storm in their life and go, hey, I am here to help. Please tell me what I can do. I am praying for you. And you can bring peace. Sometimes you can simply say, how can I help? Jesus wants you to be an agent of peace through action, through words, or sometimes just by your presence. There have been times where I've sat in a hospital waiting room with a family, rarely said anything at all, and later for them to say, you do not know how much peace you brought us just being there. Sometimes just you being there. I've sat in hospital rooms with my family members having surgery and been so thankful for people who have just come to sit with me, just to be there with me. They have provided peace for me. One of the things that you and I have, if you've lived on this earth long enough, if you have experience, you have a story, you have something that you've been through that can bring peace to someone else. Sometimes we don't want a story. I personally don't want a story, but the fact is I've got stories. I've got stories about the loss of a parent. I've got stories that I've had dealings with cancer. And those are stories that nobody wants, but you can step into the lives of people who have suffered or beginning to suffer those things and go, hey, I know how you feel. I've been there. When you have someone come into your world that has experienced something like that, they just bring an amount of peace. I remember specifically in 2003 when I was first told, hey, you have cancer. And I had a lady come in and sit down, and I said, how can I help you? She said, I'm not here for me. I just want you to know I've had cancer too. And I'm here just to answer any questions that you may have. And I remember thinking, thank you, Lord, for bringing me someone who's going to give me peace, that can answer some questions because they understand where I've been. Now, I don't know what you've been through, and I don't know what your story is, but I can promise you, you have some way to bring peace to someone because you've got knowledge on something. Maybe you and your family have dealt with a miscarriage sometime in your past, and somebody comes along and they haven't, and you can at least go, hey, I have been there. I can feel for you. I know what your experience. Maybe it's a loss of a parent. Maybe you have had a child walk out from the faith and it hurts and it still hurts. But maybe you can use that to talk to someone else to tell them, I understand where you're coming from. Our thing that God wants us to do is to simply be people who are agents of peace, that we're used to say, I understand, I'm praying for you. I just want you to know I am there. It's so important to have these connections with people, to be able to say, hey, I want you to know I am here anytime you need anything. One of the best things that you can do is simply to tell people how good God is. Sometimes that's easy to forget when you're going through a storm. I can think of two examples in the Bible of people who were agents of peace. One was a demon-possessed man who had been healed by Jesus. That story is in Mark chapter 5. And I wish we had time to tell the whole story. But basically what happens is he is healed after all this time of being possessed. And he asked Jesus, I want to follow you. Please let me come with you. And you know what Jesus tells him? Jesus tells him, go home to your family and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you. This man became an agent of peace in his own home by going home and going, hey, y'all know how good God has been to me? One of the greatest agents of peace you can be is by telling the story of how good God's been to you, to your family, to your kids, to your grandkids, to your parents. When you sit around the dinner table today, if you have a chance, talk about just how good God has been to you and how he has shown you mercy. That's an agent of peace. I think about the woman at the well, the lady who came in the middle of the day because she had 5 husbands and she's trying to avoid the public and a crowd. And she meets Jesus there, and Jesus talks to her and tells her everything she's had going on in her life and then reveals to her who he is. And do you remember what happens? She goes back into her city and says, y'all need to come here. She goes from not wanting to see people to becoming an evangelist, going, I got to go tell people about him. She goes back into town and she says, y'all need to come here about the man who has just told me everything I've ever done. He is someone special. She became an agent of peace to her community. That is what we are also supposed to do. Can I ask you for a second a tough question? We'll just do a little bit of maintenance for a second. Are you an agent of peace, or are you the opposite? Think about that for a second. Are you someone who brings peace to those people around you, or are you someone who, when they see you coming, they go, oh boy, what have I done now? What are they gonna, yeah. Can I just say, if that's you, if you're one of these people who don't bring peace and you bring just the opposite for whatever reason it is in your family, the Holy Spirit would love nothing more than to work with you to change that spirit. He wants you to bring be a person of peace. People ought to see you coming, see a text from you, see a message from you, see a caller ID from you, and go, I can't wait to answer this phone because this person is going to encourage me and they're going to bring me peace. And if people see your message or your caller ID or your presence coming down the hall and they go, oh no, not them again, I want to just tell you, the Holy Spirit really wants to work in your life. The third thing that I want you to catch this morning is just how to be an agent of peace. We've talked about God wants you to be, but let's talk about some ways to do that, all right? Number one, you need to be someone who provides help for others in need. That is what an agent of peace does. An agent of peace looks and says, that person needs help, I will help. They're not the person that says, that person needs help, I will call so-and-so at church and they can help them. I'll call an elder. They start by going, I'm going to help them, and if I can't, then I will reach out and I will call someone that can. But when you see someone in need, spiritually, emotionally, physically, whatever it is, your job is to go, I will be an agent of peace. How can I help? The second thing that you can do to be an agent of peace is be kind to others at all times. Here in about 3 or 4 weeks, we're going to talk about kindness. And I find it absolutely incredible that all the fruit of the Spirit are intertwined. Does that make sense? It's really hard to have peace if you don't have kindness. It's really hard to be kind if you don't have peace. All of these kind of blend in together. And I just want to tell you, you can't be an agent of peace and not be kind to people. Your job and my job is to be kind. You should be the kindest people that there are. You're about to leave here and a bunch of y'all are going to go have lunch somewhere. You should be the kindest people in the restaurant at lunch today. You should be the one that praises your server and then tips well, because you're the ones that have just come from singing about grace and peace and goodness and everything else this morning. Be kind to others, not part of the time, not when they deserve it, all of the time. In fact, I'll say it this way, and you've heard me say it before, and you're going to hear me say it again. You treat other people better than they deserve, because that's how God treats you every day. Number three on your list, control your temper. If you're a person with a temper, if you're a person with a short fuse, if you're a person that gets angry and blows your top and says things you shouldn't and just loses control, can I just tell you that is the exact opposite of peace? Learn to control your temper. And don't give me this, well, I inherited it from my dad or my mom or whomever it is. No, you learned it and it can be fixed, and you can break that generational curse that you're going to also teach your children someday. Learn to control your temper. Agents of peace are not angry people. Number four on your list, forgive those who have hurt you. Much like being kind to people who may not even deserve it because God's been kind to you, forgive those who have hurt you, because if you want God's forgiveness, it's important that you be also a good forgiver. Agents of peace forgive. You may be saying, hey, but I have been hurt, and I have been hurt a lot. Somebody did something really, really bad to me one time. Give it to God and let God deal with it. He's the one in charge of it anyway. Let God have them, and you forgive them and move on. Be an agent of peace that chooses to forgive those who have hurt you. Jesus talked forgiveness so much. The next thing on your list, don't be a bully. Now, we don't like bullies. We have commercials against being a bully. Don't be a bully at school. Don't be a bully in this world. And most people understand, physically, we're not a bully. But you know what? I know a lot of verbal bullies. And that's just as bad. Those are the people who say, boy, I gave that salesman a piece of my mind. You're to be kind, whether you're on the phone, whether you're at a store, wherever it is. Don't be a bully. You be nice. We've had the last couple of months some shirts that we've been selling for what the same cost we buy them for. It say Sunset Church of Christ on them. I've learned really quick, if you're wearing the Sunset Church of Christ, everybody goes, boy, you better be acting nice, right? Because you're representing right here. You better be nice if you're wearing that shirt. Can I remind you also, whether you're wearing the shirt or not, you still need to be nice, okay? I've had people come up to me in the store and they go, oh, Sunset Church of Christ. And I'll go, oh, yeah, man, I better be nice in here, right? I got another friend here that's here today, and he said, I was getting a little frustrated. I was trying to do this in a store, and I wasn't getting any help from the person by the register, and I was just like almost beginning to get a tone. And they pointed out, oh, you go to the Sunset Church of Christ. And he thought, oh, I got to be nice now. We got to be nice all the time. That's what God wants. We're not bullies. Be kind. Don't bully physically, verbally. Next thing on your list, be kind to those who don't like you or those who disagree with you. You know, the two things that I can guarantee are going to happen in this world, there's going to be people that don't like you. And you know what? That's okay. That's just look at it. That's their problem, not yours. You still be kind to them. Just because they're unkind to you doesn't mean you have to be unkind back. If you're going to be an agent of peace, you're going to be someone who chooses not to bite back. That's hard to do. I received an email years ago from a guy who did not like something, an article that I wrote on the internet. He read it. And he kind of read between the lines, saying that I said a bunch of stuff I didn't say. And he wrote me a really nice response and spewed some venom at me. And I was a little put out at first. I was mad. I thought, man, I am going to give him the what for. And then I thought, you know, that's not going to do any good for me to just jump right back at him. And I simply responded pretty straight, pretty short, and just said, I am so sorry if this article's hurt you. And I went on to just be kind and be nice and chose not to return anger for anger. Over the years, that man and I have not only become friends through email, but the one time that we bumped into each other at a lectureship, he said, I would love to buy you lunch. You are one of my dear friends. And I remember thinking how that would not have happened had I chosen to go, hey, you're writing some stuff I don't like, and I'm going to jump right back at you. I don't always succeed in doing things like that. Sometimes I make the wrong decision. But that was a time where I, thankfully, God showed me, you made the right move on this. You can still be kind to people who don't like you. You can still be kind to people who disagree with you. You know what that's called? Maturity. And it's called being a Christian. Look at the next one on your list. Apologize. One of the simplest things in the world you can do is just say, I'm sorry. Sometimes you say, I'm sorry, whether you feel like you've done anything wrong or not. Sometimes you can say, I'm sorry. I've been married long enough to know. Sometimes you just say you're sorry because you don't even know what you've done wrong, right? Y'all get that. But you know what? It's because my relationship with my spouse is more important than my pride. And sometimes the best thing you can just do, I didn't realize you were hurt, and I am so sorry. I may not feel like I've done anything wrong, but I can still apologize. You know why? Because I'm a person of peace, and I want peace to rule in my life. as a follower of Jesus. Number eight, take steps. Take the first step toward reconciliation. You have someone in your life, maybe you go back up a couple of slides, that doesn't like you or doesn't agree with you, and maybe they've said something, you know, maybe they've got a problem with something. Maybe you need to go to them and just go, I just want you to know I'm so sorry. If I've done anything or said anything, I'm sorry. You may not feel like you have done anything wrong, but it is okay. You can still be the first person to go to somebody else in reconciliation. I've done that. I've had to be there. Finally, surround yourself with people. Peaceful people. Hang out with people with the same. If you hang out with angry people, if you hang out with people who are anxious and worried and fretting about everything and woe and gloom and doom, you're going to become the same person. Surround yourself with people who encourage you and build you up and people of peace. That is what you're looking for. And so I remind you, and I'll ask you one more time, when people see you coming, do they think, oh, here comes peace and here comes encouragement? Or do they say, oh, here comes trouble and here comes worry and here comes problems? If I had a homework assignment for you this week, it would be this. Go out today and you be an agent of peace in someone's life. Because God's working through the Holy Spirit to bring peace into your life, and your job is to go out and be an agent of peace in someone else's life this week. That is your job. That is my job. Love, joy, peace. I want that fruit. I need that fruit. I want to be a peaceful person. I want to be a person that exudes peace in my life, and I hope you do as well. We're all looking for peace. The world is looking for peace. They're going to look through it for many ways. They're going to look through it for appeal, a relationship, a bottle. But the only place to find peace, the real way to find peace, is through the Prince of Peace, and that's Jesus. And that's through a relationship with God. Through giving Him your life, saying, I will follow Him, that is the way to go. We're going to offer an invitation at this time. And if you need to respond this morning, if you're needing prayers, we'd be happy to pray for you this morning. If you're ready to give your life to Christ and confess Him as Lord and be baptized, what a great day to do that. If you have a need, something we can help you with today, would you come as we stand and sing this invitation song?